Hi guys, this is your host, Miss Anonymous. You are now checked into the rehab. Hope you guys are having an amazing week slash month slash day. And hope there's something in your life that you are thankful for, that you're excited for. And all of the best blessings in life are headed your way. So with that, we are actually going to talk about a topic that is so relevant. And it is something that I bet you've either encountered in your past or you are currently encountering. And it is so crucial to discuss this because it's really going to help you develop healthy relationships. So I'm going to talk about this topic from a relationship slash dating sense, but any of the things that I share today, you could certainly apply this towards any relationship that you have in your life. So today's topic is going to be three common reactions that you can expect after a fight. And not only am I going to talk about what those three common reactions are, but why does your partner give you those reactions? And if you're the person causing those reactions, then why are you doing it? What's the impact of those reactions to someone physically and mentally that's on the receiving end? And what is the impact of that on your relationship? And finally, what is the remedy? How do you rectify any one of these three reactions that you get after the fight? So the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is, if you have not checked out my podcast episode on the right way to fight, be sure to check that out after you listen to this episode, because the really cool thing about learning about different reactions that you can expect after a fight is, what is the right way to fight? Because fighting in relationships can be really, really healthy and it's totally normal, but there is a right way to go about it that will help blossom your relationship versus causing even deeper conflict within the relationship. And the reason why I want to talk about these reactions is, one, I've seen so much research on it and I've done extensive research on this topic. And then two, I've witnessed it time after time in virtually everyone's life. Anyone who's spoken to me about a relationship or who I've seen in a relationship, I have seen either them deliver one out of these three reactions that I'm going to talk about, or I've seen them on the receiving end of it. So I know this information is so, so useful. And let's get started. So the three common reactions I'm going to cover today are, drumroll, the first is going to be stonewalling. The second is the blame game. The third is ending the relationship. Oh, and guys, I forgot to mention, if you've not subscribed to this podcast, go subscribe now, because I'm going to be talking about this topic in the next couple of weeks as well. All right, back into this. So let's begin with stonewalling. First of all, this reaction is very interesting to me because typically most of the things that pertain to relationship, it's oftentimes women that are causing it. Sorry, ladies, but that's just the fact. In this case, stonewalling is actually more common in men. 85% of stonewallers are guys, which I thought, first of all, it makes total sense, but I thought it was very interesting to see the research actually prove that men are bigger stonewallers. And for those of you that don't know what stonewalling is, it's basically shutting down and avoiding talking about conflict or avoiding the need to discuss if there are any issues, even if you have not had a fight. Just that whole avoidance is basically stonewalling. And the reason why stonewalling is so toxic is, one, you're avoiding conflict, which means that the issues that do come up within your relationship, they never get addressed. They never get fixed. And as you can imagine, over time, you are only going to have more and more issues with your partner, especially if you've not addressed previous issues. Because what tends to happen is, if we don't talk about things that bother us, if we don't talk about or work through to find solutions, then the frustration just keeps building on. And then the person that's on the receiving end of stonewalling is not only frustrated about the actual conflict, but is also frustrated that their partner is stonewalling them and refuses to do anything to address the issue or to fix the issue. And the physical and the mental impact of your partner, if you are the person that's stonewalling, is that it causes stress, it causes tension, because to play devil's advocate, to be on the receiving end of stonewalling, imagine trying to talk to someone and that person just ignoring you. In the beginning, you might panic because you don't want to lose that person. You might reach out to that individual often. But over time, the impact of this on your relationship is when this becomes a pattern that every time you have a fight, one person withdraws and the other person's continuing to make an effort to reach out, this ends up actually breaking apart the two people. Because the person that's reaching out and just getting ignored after arguments or fights is going to start to not care after a while. Because they feel that their partner obviously is not that vested into the relationship to actually fix it. And that the fact that their partner is ignoring them, that partner doesn't care about this person's emotions and their feelings. Therefore, what ends up happening is now you have someone that was fighting for the relationship in the beginning, doing the outreach, only to continuously being or have gotten ignored, then reaches a point where they stop caring. And over time, it's two people that are just slowly drifting away. Where one person is thinking that they're punishing the other person by not speaking to them. And the other person is just thinking, I'm sick and tired of caring. I'm sick and tired of crying. I'm sick and tired of trying. And I'm done. And that's what ends up happening in this type of a scenario. So stonewalling by far is probably the most toxic thing that you can do in a relationship. And it's not only toxic in the sense that you might end up losing that relationship, but it's also toxic in the sense that when you do this to someone, it's emotional punishment that you're basically inflicting on them. And over time, that person may begin to resent you and resent you to a point where not only do they want to not be in a relationship with you, they may not even want you in their life because of the way that you make them feel. And the reason why I really wanted to talk about this is the 85% number to me is very scary, that most men approach conflict in this sense because they think if I don't deal with this, it's just going to go away, or I can't be bothered with it because if I talk, it's going to cause a bigger problem. And I don't think most of those people realize how detrimental it really is to stonewall. That's absolutely one of the worst things that you can do after a fight, is just ignore that person. If you are either a stonewaller or on the receiving end, here's some ways that you can kind of fix and remedy this issue. So now, if you're a stonewaller, the first thing that you should do is obviously realize that this is your pattern. Because here's the thing. If you are someone that stonewalls somebody, this is not the first time you've done this. It's probably a relationship pattern with you, which means you are aware of what you are doing because you have done this before. So if you know that you are a stonewaller, ask for a break during the fight. In the middle of an argument, when you feel like you just don't want to deal with this anymore, tell the person, listen, I don't want to talk about this anymore right now. But we will revisit this. We will talk through this. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just asking for a break right now because I don't want this fight to continue for X, Y, and Z reasons. You see, if you communicate from that lens, you are reassuring your partner that you need a break, but you are not leaving. And you are not ignoring them. You're just asking for a little bit of space. So what that ends up doing is the partner does not feel that you don't care. They shift from that emotion to being a little bit more sympathetic and understanding that, okay, we just had a fight. It was taxing on my partner. They just need to be left alone. But we are still in this. And whenever they're done with their little time and they feel a little bit better, we will revisit this. So me and my relationship is important to my partner. That's what you're doing when you communicate that. Now, if you are the person that's being stonewalled and someone is doing this to you, then do not feed into a toxic cycle of stonewalling. Because once you get roped into the cycle, and I have seen this happen countless times, it takes a while to get out because now you have to recondition someone. So if you are being stonewalled, tell the other person that when they are ready to talk to you, they can reach out to you. You understand that they're frustrated. You are also upset. And you will not continue reaching out to them. You will give them the space that you see that they need. But then the onus is on them to reach out to you. By doing that, you are now telling the stonewaller, I'm not going to feed into this toxic relationship. I'm not going to continue to let you mentally abuse me. So I will give you the space. When you're ready to talk, you know where to find me. And you take a lot of that power away because people also stonewall because it feeds their ego. Think about it. You had a fight with someone. You're ignoring that person. That person keeps coming back. So it's just feeding your ego. The whole thing is toxic. So I'm not saying anything about this is normal. And that's the reason why we're talking about remedies, because all three of the scenarios that I share with you today, these are toxic patterns that need to be broken. But oftentimes I see the frustration with people is when they can get out of that cycle. And I've seen it on both ends. People also have negative relationship patterns that they cause and they want to break free from them. They just don't know how. So that's why I'm giving you both sides of the scenario. So regardless of wherever you're at, you have the power to break a pattern. And part of the reason or part of the way that you really break a pattern is by first admitting that there is a pattern. And then you work towards, here's the solution. Okay, so that's the first reaction, stonewalling. Second, the blame game. This is unfortunately also a very popular thing that takes place in relationship. And blame game is essentially two people getting into a fight, one blaming the other for the things that the other person doesn't do, and the same thing vice versa. Sometimes the blame game can be one-sided. It's immature, but it happens, where one person can admit to their faults and the other person continues with the blame game. Unfortunately, when ends up happening is people are human, people are emotional. So even if someone is being mature to a degree, at some point they might get tempted into joining this blame game where they're pointing fingers at the other person, the other person's pointing fingers at you, and the whole thing just gets very, very ugly. The reason why the blame game is so toxic is because nothing really gets accomplished. It's just two people talking. No one is really listening. They're just blaming each other for different things that may have happened 5 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And because no one's taking responsibility for the part that they played in the conflict keeps coming up over and over again because it never gets rectified. Now, the impact of this is that it creates tension in your relationship. It also creates more conflict because as no one takes responsibility, more and more things keep piling up. And over time, the focus shifts from the relationship to winning because this turns into a competitive thing between two people. And as a result, both individuals at some point will be more focused on winning. Never mind that there is no price. And guys, any one of these scenarios, there's really nothing to win. If you end up losing your person and you end up losing a relationship, you both lost. So there is nothing to win. It's not like you're getting a gold medal or a giant trophy. But I've seen this happen where people just get so caught up in being right. And if you've listened to one of my earlier episodes that I've done, I talk about ego and love. If you want your ego to win, meaning if you want to be right, then don't get into a relationship. Because the only way that you win in relationships is by leaving your ego out the door. So if you can't take responsibility for the part that you played, because it takes two to tango, one person by themselves cannot have a fight. And that is a fact. They can talk to themselves, but it's not a fight as long as the other person does not engage. So if you are having a fight, there's two people that are to blame. So instead of blaming each other, and here's the remedy, both people need to take time to reflect on their part. Now, I will be honest with you. As I mentioned before, there may be one partner that might be a bit mature that's willing to do that. And the other one might not be at that same level or might not see anything wrong with the way that they handled a situation. So if you're the person that starts the blame game, then you need to pause and you really need to think back to what I just said. What are you winning? There's no competition. There's no medal. Both of you, you and your partner, are on the same team. If you win, you win together. If you lose, which means you end the relationship, you both lost. Assuming that the fact that you guys are together, there's clearly some sort of value that you see in that other person. So if you're the one that's initiating the blame game, then you really need to take a step back and just think about, are you happy at the end of the fight? Do you feel like a winner when you're upset, your partner's upset? If the answer is no, then here's what you need to do, as well as if you're on the receiving end, here's what you need to do. Both of you take time from the back and forth. One person, and you can take turns in different fights doing that. One person is the first to apologize. As I mentioned, any fight cannot happen without two people participating. So one person initiates, and it should never be the same person that's always apologizing first. Take turns. One person apologizes and says, I'm sorry for X, Y, and Z. Whatever part you played in that fight, even if you didn't do anything wrong, but maybe you see how the other person could have viewed something that you did and was offended by it or hurt by it, apologize for whatever part you played. Then that gives room to the other person to also step up and apologize for either something that they did or for how they reacted or their perception of a situation. But both people, instead of blaming each other, should take accountability and take responsibility for the part that they played in this conflict. After you're both done apologizing, then talk about, well, in the future, how can both of us handle this differently? And don't tell the other person, here's what you should do. No, give them the space for them to come up with something first and then ask, here's how I think I could have improved this. Do you think there's anything that I could have done differently? And then have a dialogue and a communication with that other person. Because if you are going to be taking that approach of, well, if you would have done this, now you just have another fight. Apologize for the part that you played. Offer some solutions on how you think you can do things differently, but then ask. Because your perspective in a situation or a fight is very different from your partner's. So you might think my partner will be happy if in the future I handle this situation in this type of way. But your partner might be like, no, that doesn't really work for me. I rather you did this, this, and this. And that's why communication is so important. And you gotta get out of that competitive state of mind. If you're fighting with anyone, go fight with the rest of the world. Go fight hunger. Go fight poverty. There's enough causes out there that you can go fight and try to win that battle. Your home, your partner, your loved ones are not the people to fight with. They are on your team. And conflict will come up. Anytime you have different people, you have different personalities, there's going to be conflict. But look at that as opportunities for growth. Look at that as a chance to strengthen your bond rather than something that you need to be a winner at. Because you're not going to win if you lose that person. So shift your focus from that. The last type of reaction, that which is the most common, is ending the relationship. And this one is basically just as it sounds. Two people get into a fight, one person threatens to leave the relationship. Now, they may make countless threats, and then maybe one day they actually do it. But the fact that someone threatens to leave a relationship is very toxic. And here's why. Now, the person that's doing it, for them, it's a way to gain control. And it's also a way for them to punish their partner for any type of behavior that they don't like. So it's sort of like how what a parent does to a child. You did something that I didn't like. I will punish you by just leaving you. And emotionally, this is very damaging to a relationship. Because what ends up happening is when you tell someone that I'm just going to leave you, especially in a fight and over not something serious. Now, keep in mind when I'm talking about all of these situations, they're in a fight. So this is not like somebody backstabbed you and you said, I'm ending this relationship. No, because then you'd actually end it and you have the right to. In this context, it's when you're having fights with the person and they're just like, well, I'm just done. But then they're not done. So that's the context. And I just want to make sure that you could see the difference in those two cases. So the reason why this is so detrimental is because it causes trust and it causes commitment issues. If you are doing this to someone, then from your perspective, the lens is, I don't like what this person did, and I'm really, really upset, and I'm just over it, and I'm done with this whole situation, and I'm done with this relationship. Chances are you probably don't even mean it, but you're just mad, and that's why you said it. On the receiving end, it feels like, okay, so I thought we were in this for a long haul. I thought you were someone that was always going to be there for me, but I guess I was wrong. And now I can't trust you. And I don't trust that you're committed to this relationship if all it's going to take is this small thing and you will just leave me. So you can see how it's damaging on both fronts. Because even if you are the person that's making these threats, when you realize that your partner is starting to withdraw from you because they're looking at it like, I don't want to get hurt. This person's not in it to win it. So I'm just going to maintain my distance from them and make sure that I'm good. You will also feel that because now you are going to notice a shift in that person's behavior. And the reason why this is very damaging to your overall relationship is because after a while, both people tend to be less vested in the relationship. Because when the person hears that the relationship is over, they will emotionally start detaching. When the person who made that threat sees the other person leaving, then they feel like, okay, well, they're not that vested in this relationship. So I'm not going to be either. So, and over time, both people just put less and less effort into a relationship. And sometimes people don't even discuss that. The person who's feeling hurt and who's feeling like, wow, this person told me 10 times that they're just going to leave me, may not even express it. And the person who said those things might be thinking, well, I was mad. I didn't mean any of it. But I see that they are distancing themselves from me. So maybe they've found somebody else. Maybe they're not that interested in me. Maybe they've changed their mind about this relationship. So a lot of the times what this ends up doing is just causing misunderstanding. Because in this scenario, people don't really communicate. And sometimes they may not even talk to each other about this problem. And then one day the relationship is over, but both people just don't care because they've just have all of these feelings bottled up inside. So the way to rectify or remedy this type of a pattern is, if you're on the receiving end of it, don't beg, don't plead. If someone tells you that they're going to end the relationship, treat it seriously, even if it was during a fight. Don't reach out to the person. Just say, okay, well, if this is how you feel, then I'm going to respect your wishes and I'm going to hope for the best for both of us. That's it. Leave the onus on the other person. Get them to realize that their words have power. Get them to realize that if they say things like this, you are going to take it seriously. And you are not going to chase, and you're not going to be in a sick, toxic cycle of an on and off relationship. Now, after you've given that person their space, chances are, since this happened during a fight, they will reach out. They will try to tell you if that they were upset during this fight, they didn't mean it, and give all sorts of explanation. At that point is when you need to have a serious conversation with this person. And let them know how you feel. Everything that I mentioned, that this would cause you to have trust issues, you are in this, but you want to make sure that if you're investing your time, the other person is in it to win it as well. And make sure the two of you are aligned and on the same page. And you also need to clarify to this individual that it's not the fights that bother you, but it's their reaction. They need to be able to communicate with you in a different way. You can't always feel that you can't trust this relationship, that you don't feel secure in this relationship. You don't feel that this relationship has longevity, because if you feel any of those things, you will not be investing your time or your emotions in this situation. And make sure that they understand how it makes you feel. Because like I said, in this scenario, more so than any other, people don't really ever communicate. The relationship just ends, and then two people, they don't even know why it ended, honestly, sometimes. So it's so important to communicate that and get them to make a decision. If you're all in, then you can be saying things like this. And then together come up with a different way to handle a conflict. And it can be something as simple as a starting point of being like, don't tell me that this relationship is over. Instead, say, I'm upset. I'll talk to you later. Instead, say, can we talk about this calmly? Instead, say, how about we both walk away, come back 30 minutes later, collect our thoughts, and then have a conversation. Whatever works for the two of you, collectively come to that conclusion. And if you are on that end where you are threatening your partner, telling them that you're going to end the relationship, then understand why you're doing this. Are there things that you're upset about that you're just taking an extreme stand on? Are you being too controlling in a relationship? If so, put yourself in the other person's shoes and say, if I was dating me, if I was married to me, if I was in a relationship with me, would I want to be treated like that? Chances are you're going to say no. And if that is the case, then every time you have the urge to say, I'm done with this, and storm off like a 2-year-old, imagine yourself on the other end. And every time, I guarantee you, if you switch positions and put yourself in the other person's shoes, those words will not cross your lips, because nobody likes to hear that. If you love someone, you don't want them to just leave you and just end a relationship. You want them to fight for you. You want to feel that they're just as vested in this situation as you are. And nobody wants to feel abandoned. You thought that you had something serious. You thought that this person wanted to be with you. And then what? It just took a couple of arguments and this person's like ready to storm out the door. And here you are building the rest of your life with them. And guys, even if it's not that serious, even if you're dating someone, it's still a bad pattern for you to start in a relationship. So be mindful that when somebody is doing this, I mean, with any of these three scenarios, this, you are probably not their first rodeo. They've done this to other people in the past. And if they're dating you, then chances are those relationships ended. So when you start to see some of these red flags right after you've had a fight, be prepared on here's how I'm going to deal with this. And sometimes it's also a good idea to talk it over with some of the other people in your life that you trust and say, well, this is kind of what's going on. This is how I'm thinking about approaching this. What do you think? And you don't have to take their suggestion, but at least hear them out because it gives you a different perspective. And that's really what I wanted to do here. I wanted to give you a perspective on both ends because one of the greatest things about relationships is that we can always grow and we can always learn new things, both about ourselves and about other people. Because if there are things in ourselves that we need to fix, regardless of who you date, those things you need to work on. Otherwise, you are going to reach the same outcome regardless of how many relationships you go through. And if you're on the receiving end of a bad relationship cycle, then you also have to make some changes because the fact that you continue to keep dating the same type of people also means that there's work that you need to do with yourself first. And that's honestly where all of these resolutions need to start. Before you can make a change in a relationship or the dynamic of a relationship, you need to look at yourself and say, what are the different things that I need to work on? Now, in this context, I've just spoken about three scenarios and three common reactions that you get after a fight, but there's so many others. So look at your partnership. See if there's any pattern that you think is not healthy or you think that you are not happy with. And then figure out, well, how does this make me feel? What do I want to do about it? What are some of the changes that I want to have? And sometimes you can talk about what you don't like in a fight. Talk about it after. Bring it up when the two of you are calm and there isn't any conflict between the two of you and you guys are in a happy moment. Then have that conversation and backdate it. Hey, remember that one time that we had that heated discussion and you said some things that I'm sure you didn't mean. I said some things that I know I didn't mean, but here's how it made me feel. And do you think that if we have discussions or if we have fights in the future, then can we approach it from this stance? And then open it up to a conversation without pointing the finger at the other person and saying, you did this, you did this, you did this, you did this. Sometimes it's not what we say, it's how we say that makes the biggest difference. And as I've mentioned it a couple of times during the episode, both of you are on the same team. Fights can be extremely healthy, but learn how to deal with them together. If there's only one person that's trying to make a relationship work, it's not going to work. Both people need to put the same amount of time, effort, and energy. Doesn't mean that both people will do it 50-50 all of the time. No, you take turns. Sometimes you do a little bit more. Sometimes your partner does a little bit more. But overall, it should still be 50-50 when both people are striving to be with the other person equal amounts. And both people are committed not only to making the relationship work, but more importantly, in driving positive changes in themselves so they can grow as individuals. And that's what's really important. It's the relationship with yourself. It's you in your own essence that needs to be 100% the way that you want to be. As long as you're fulfilled in your own skin, in your own mind, in your own emotional well-being, then you can deliver and give the best to a relationship. So start there. But I hope you guys found some of these tips helpful. And I'm hoping that the next time you get into these types of scenarios or situations, that you are a bit more prepared to deal with them. So that concludes today's episode, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. I had a ton of fun kind of putting this together. And honestly, some of these scenarios to me are also helpful because like I said, I always look back and be like, okay, that was that one scenario when I witnessed somebody do this. And there's ways that I could have interjected and possibly given advice and helped someone out. So with that, until next time, this is your host, Miss Anonymous. You are now checked out of the rehab. Bye, guys.